Good evening and welcome, everyone. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is May 14th, 2015, and tonight we're talking with a group of people who have designed and planned an exciting writing event, Advanced Institute, called Writing in Good Company in New Orleans that will be happening this July. And this is hosted by the Southeastern Louisiana Writing Project near to New Orleans. I'm your host, Joy Alberts, at the National Writing Project in Berkeley, California. And Richard Luth, who is the director of the Southeastern Louisiana Writing Project, is joining me tonight as co-host. And in addition, we are pleased to have several guests with us to talk about their experiences and expertise in supporting this event and writing retreat. We have Kim Stafford, poet and director of the Northwest Writing Institute at Lewis and Clark College, Susan Martins, director of the Prairielands Writing Project, Tracy Cunningham, Southeastern Louisiana Writing Project, who is a former teacher and now event planner. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Good to be here, Julie.
Thanks, Joy.
Great. So we want to begin with a little background information about this writing retreat event in New Orleans in July this summer that we're also all invited to register for if we can make it. So I want to just jump right in and ask the director of the Southeastern Louisiana Writing Project, Richard Luth, to get us started and tell us a little bit about what we're talking about here tonight. So welcome, Richard.
Thanks, Joy. And I'm really pleased to be able to invite everybody in the National Writing Project to join us in New Orleans this summer. It's going to be July 13th to 17th, and the retreat we're talking about is called Writing in Good Company in New Orleans. And just in a nutshell, it'll feature a writing marathon every day. It'll feature writing workshops led by Kim Stafford. Part of our inspiration will be the city of New Orleans itself. And, of course, there's also going to be the good company of all of the other writers there. And in fact, that theme, the theme of In Good Company, Writing in Good Company, comes from Kim Stafford and from a poem that Kim wrote that was the introduction to a book that our writing project site published a few years back. The title of the book is The Writing Marathon in Good Company Revealed. We owe so much to Kim and to this idea, and I wanted to invite Kim to actually read that poem to sort of kick us off. Kim?
Yeah, Richard, I feel like I'm in New Orleans here. So
yeah.
Here's the poem that came out of one of those festive days. For the Greeks, Marathon was the field of battle where invading hordes were turned away. What troubles us is silence, reticence, the urge for story that writhes untold. What calls us is the reader's thirst for secrets, the writer's affection for a few amazing words. No spear but a pen, no shield but a blank page. No runner dying with a single word. The plan is to wander, to settle easy, and to write, to whisper what was written, and to smile and say, thanks, and let the sparkle of the eye say all true teaching needs to say. The plan is to listen, to watch, to wait at the corner where dawn turns bread to gold, or in the window with sill wide for elbows and stories, and Corona, Guinness, Dixie, and other libations that, like music, feed the writer's incandescent forge of memory. Speaking here, strolling there, writing all the while. You suffered, you survived. Now tell how it will be, telling how it is, because of how it was. Will you walk this road of secret stories? In Good Company, Revealed.
Wow. Thank you, Kim. I think that so much captures the feel of the writing marathon and the retreats that we put on, where writing marathons are often at the center. Our upcoming retreat is very much modeled on the one that we did last year, which was really also devoted to you. You were one of the main writers with us, and the title of that retreat was Finding Your Muse in New Orleans, and of course that idea came from your book about listening to the muses around us. I think the best way to give our audience a sense of the upcoming retreat would be to talk a little bit about the one we put on last year. So, Tracy, I'd like to invite you as the event planner for that to talk a little bit about what it was, you know, what your thoughts of the retreat were.
Sure. Thanks, Richard. You know, we've started planning our Advanced Institute, and the model that we once followed, which always really worked, was to start our Advanced Institute off by having a guest speaker for a day-long workshop or two, and then spending some time in the university classroom, and then heading down to New Orleans for a couple of days of writing marathon. And as Richard can testify here, we were planning the Institute last summer, and we just naturally gravitated toward that model. But then we just thought, what would happen if we spent the whole week in New Orleans? And why not have a writing marathon every single day? And in some ways, it felt a little bit wicked, like we were ditching school or playing hooky. But I'll quote Kim Stafford here. He said once, "Everything you once considered extracurricular is now your plan, and we followed that." So we wondered, you know, what would happen if we cut over 50 writers loose in the city of New Orleans for 5 whole days, and we even wondered if we'd see them ever again, or if instead of writing all day, they'd shop and gamble and drink and act like tourists on a vacation. But they really surprised us. Well, we shouldn't have been surprised. They're teachers and professionals, and they showed up every morning for Kim's inspiring opening sessions and workshops. They showed back up every evening for our read-arounds and our discussions. They attended the extra sessions that we had in the afternoon. And the main thing was they wrote together all day, all 5 days, all over the city of New Orleans.
Susan, Kim, do you have thoughts of your own about the...
Yeah, I have one... You know, it might seem like playing hooky, but it's really going to the most active possible school, which is, again, being in good company with other teachers and writers, with no university protocols getting in the way. So, you know, I felt like it was the school of New Orleans. It was a marathon. It was pilgrimage, an adventure, but it was really a school.
Yeah, I would definitely echo that. For me, it feels like school and church, and I think pilgrimage is a great word for it. I actually, when I think about the writing marathon retreat, I feel like it's the writing marathon mothership has landed, and we all get on, you know. So it's just the most extraordinary expression of the marathon technique that we've seen. So it was pretty amazing.
I think how it fit in with, you know, with the workshops, with the author's chair read-arounds at the end of the day, everything just seemed to fit very seamlessly. And it had so much of what we call writing project built into it, you know, lots of time for writing, lots of time for professional discussion, time to showcase your work if you wanted to. And I think that was one of the things that made so many people energized by the event.
I think so, too. I think our instincts about making it into a week-long retreat were absolutely on point. And we modeled it, like you said, after our summer institute days with food and drink and conversation, sharing what works as teachers and as writers, and then having our sessions start off with experts like you and Kim to get us started and get us inspired. These were all things we did in our summer institute, but we just took it to the streets of New Orleans.
Yeah, I think if people across the country could imagine, you know, the glory of a summer institute, it's like summer writing camp for adults, and it's a retreat. And then add to that the resonance of a storied neighborhood and so many chances to explore and have intimate conversations through writing with energized fellow teachers. It's really, it's like a summer institute squared.
And I think taking your lead, Kim, as the theme of finding our muses in the city of New Orleans really worked for us. We gave lots of time to the writers for discovery and experimentation all over the city, time and space to find their muses, and they delivered. You know, they wrote on streetcars, they took the steamboats and the ferries, they wrote in cemeteries and bars and coffee shops. One group went to the Chalmette battlefield for the day and wrote over there. And it was just my favorite part of the day, at the end of the day, hearing where all the different groups had sort of taken their writing classroom, if you will, and spent the day writing.
Well, it was really
we all know that a big part of teaching and writing is encountering surprise within a structure that sustains and welcomes those surprises. And I think the French Quarter really gave us that opportunity.
One of the biggest surprises for us, I think, was the space that we met in, which was the Gallier House, a famous house in New Orleans by one of New Orleans' most famous architects. And when we walked into the space, I think you all remember, on the wall behind us, about 14 feet high, were these words of Tennessee Williams, "Don't you just love those long rainy afternoons in New Orleans when an hour isn't just an hour but a little piece of eternity dropped into your hands and who knows what to do with it?" And it was, I think, that kind of feeling which, you know, pervaded the whole event. I think people felt like we had this very special moment of time and we could do anything we wanted with it.
Yeah, I get goosebumps as you read that, Richard. That quote on the wall was so inspiring.
And it was serendipitous too. And so much of, you know, there was so much planning to make the event seem simple. We had not many things going on at one time, but at the same time there was a lot of room for chance and for discovery. And I think that's part of what is attractive to people in this kind of event.
And I think after our experience last summer, we realized that we were really onto something and loved the model that we had created with the week-long marathon every day, some inspiration from our writer in residence, and we're ready to duplicate that again and just use New Orleans and everything that the city has to offer writers. So it's a great model, and I'm excited that we're going to be using it again this coming summer.
So am I. I can't wait.
You know, one of the
things...
I think that
quotation on the wall, it's like, you know, we spent a lot of our time as teachers looking at literature with our students, and mm-hmm. it was almost as if we were looking through the eyes of someone like Tennessee Williams at a place that had inspired literature, and we had direct access to something that I think on campus we study, and there we were living it.
Absolutely.
That's so true, and one of the things that I love that was a result of being in that place together and feeling like we were all together as writers in a sacred space where other writers had been and where they had been inspired, is it helped us create our own little community. It's just one of the really powerful things about the Writing Marathon as a tool for writers is that you bond really fast over your writing and you create these little writing communities that are often really long-lasting. In fact, we had a notice on our Facebook page a couple of weeks ago that a couple of our teacher consultants, one from New Jersey and one from Minnesota, who didn't know each other before the marathon, had become writing friends. And they recently did their own little mini writing marathon in New York City together. And that just really kind of gave me goosebumps, because I know those writing relationships that we have all formed over our writing because of the writing marathons that we've done together. And it was so nice to see some more of that as a result of last year's retreat.
It was really nice, too, having about half of our group were from across the country, and about half of them were writing project people from the Southeastern Louisiana Writing Project. So it was an interesting mix, and we were able to, I think, since we had so many days of writing, people got to write with a whole bunch of different people throughout the whole retreat.
That was one of the extra little, in Louisiana we call it lagniappe, that little something extra that just sort of appears accidentally. All of those people from around the country joining those of us who are from here. And when you're with somebody who's not from New Orleans, it helps you see New Orleans in a whole different way.
Yeah, if I could just, as a visitor, this was a new word to me, the lagniappe. And it was in the Croissant d'Or coffee shop, and, you know, there was a little sign that said, 2 refills for your coffee are free. And I asked one of the local people, well, what is that? Oh, that's the lagniappe. That's a little extra. So I looked up this word online and found that Mark Twain said it's worth going to New Orleans just to learn that word and to experience that concept of, you know, the human exchange brimming over, the little extra in commerce, but really in experience, little extra music, little extra flavor in the food. And I found that in my writing, that a kind of effervescence beyond what I had done before.
So let me jump in here just a second. And for all of us who are listening to this and, A, wishing we had been there last summer, or we're in New Orleans right now, I want to just back up a minute and ask if we could define a few terms here. I know the National Writing Project community who might be listening to this show will feel right at home and know what many of these terms refer to. But I thought it might be interesting for someone to say, you've talked about this idea of a writing marathon, and we'll be able to post a lot of resources that explain this and links to places that people can go on the NWP website. We'll post them on the NWP website so that people can go to other sites to find out about these things. But for somebody listening to the radio right now, how would you define succinctly what a writing marathon is?
Would someone other than I do that?
No, Richard.
No,
take it away, man.
To you.
Yeah, Richard, that's all you, Richard. And I need to say Richard.
A writing marathon is in... event in which a community of writers gets together in small groups and writes their way across a landscape, and it could be New Orleans, it could be actually a campus, it could be in the Rocky Mountains. But the whole idea is to write for yourself and for your own enjoyment on whatever you want, and then to read your work to other people in your small group, and they give you no criticism, they just say thank you. And after everybody in the group reads and everybody thanks each other for the reading, they have time to talk and to socialize, to see the city wherever they are, whether it's in a cathedral or a restaurant or a pub, and then they move on and do it again and again and again. And so when we do it in New Orleans, a marathon during the retreat, each day will last about six or seven hours, I guess. And during that time, you're with the same group of people, and it's very intense because you really begin to riff off each other's writing. And what's really neat is that while you're with your own small group moving across the city in various places, you know that there are all of these other small groups of writers doing the same thing. So there's this kind of invisible thread pulling the entire community together. And when you do that for, you know, 3 days in a row, often who you write with the first day will be different from who you write with the second day or the third day. So it's a way to get to meet a lot of different writers, to write with them, and to get to know places in a way that you can't know any other way than as a writer. Would any of you add something to that?
Yeah, I definitely add. So, you know, the experience of a teacher in class, you have time maybe for the students to write, and if you're lucky, let's have some response, and then the clock's, you know, time marches on, and it's over. The beautiful leisure of the marathon model, I think, is something that should happen in every teacher's life. Where we have abundant time to write. We write, we share, we talk, we write, we share. And this, these episodes of learning happen again and again, and they really build on each other. And your confidence as a writer, your sense of abundance as a thinker, you're spiraling up. You know, it's a bird climbing into the wind. And just builds on, each episode builds on the last.
I can imagine someone wondering what people are writing about. Do they have an assignment, or, you know, how do they know what to write about?
It's really odd to hear that word assignment in the context of the marathon, because things assign themselves. You know, you overhear a great line on the street, or you smell something that takes you back to a memory, or you look into the eyes of a homeless person, or you hear a scrap of music. And these are the, we call them invitations rather than assignments, and they're just coming at you from all directions. So many sources for the writing.
And it, you know, I think I've seen various models where, for instance, the last year's, when it was our theme was Finding Your Muse in New Orleans, we asked people at the beginning of the retreat, think about this, you know, as you're going out to write whatever you want, what is your muse? Who is your muse? Think about this and let that be part of what you might be writing about. It's always an invitation as opposed to, please, you know, you must do this. But on some previous marathons, we've done things like asked, this idea came from Kim as well, asked the people who participated to consider writing a letter to, from, or about New Orleans. Somewhere in the midst of all the other writing they did, could you write a letter? And it could be from you to a friend saying, here's what I'm seeing in New Orleans. Or in one case, someone wrote a love letter to New Orleans. All kinds of things came out of it. What's really kind of neat is there's a complete openness that you can write about anything you want. You tend to be inspired by the other people in your group, and often your writing will in some ways be in response to something that has been read to you. So there's a wide range, but I think what makes people keep on coming back is they know as writers they have ownership, and that when they go out into the world in a writing marathon, they always begin by saying to each other, I'm a writer, and they go out as a writer, and they are treated as writers when they go into a bar or a pub or a coffee house or a hotel or whatever. People come up to them and say, who are you? And they always say, well, I'm a writer. And oh, boy, all of a sudden they get new stories, you know. So I think that's part of it as well.
Yeah, I just want to chime in here about the role of place as well on a writing marathon. Richard, one of my favorite things that you often say during a marathon is, once you write in a place, it belongs to you forever. And that is so true. I mean, even places that you've been many times, places that you know very well, when you're writing there, it's completely different. And when you're writing there with different people, it's different again. And so the inspiration, and of course, being in a place like New Orleans is just overwhelmingly rich. But once you tune your brain to, you know, see these places in that writer's vision, any place can come alive, even our college campuses, which can seem dull, but really are always alive.
Yes, yes. You discovered some interesting new places during the last year's retreat, didn't you, Susan?
Well, you know, my group was one that went to the battlefield, and we also wrote on the riverboat, which is just glorious. It's, you know, to be writing as you're moving along on the river and slowly swaying, you know, with the glassware. It's just really wonderful. But, yeah, that was terrific. I'm not sure which place you're remembering.
I'm thinking of Winks. Didn't you go to Winks as well?
Yeah, oh, my goodness, so amazing. Dwight Henry, the famous actor who portrayed the father in Beasts of the Southern Wild, has this bakery cafe that's just so wonderful, and the food is to die for. But the best thing about going to Winks and writing there is listening to Dwight Henry tell you his philosophy on everything, and you can't keep up with his wisdom, but you try, you know. So that was phenomenal. Definitely have to go back there.
Yes.
I know we're going to talk a little more about what people write about later in the show, but I just thought it might help to ground people in this idea that people are writing different kinds of things and writing different kinds of things on different days and have different purposes for the writing they're doing in all of these places where they're doing it. So that was very helpful. Now we have the notion of a writing marathon, and that while we're talking about New Orleans now, it can happen wherever writers gather. And I think it was Tracy who mentioned earlier that a couple of people met up and the two of them wrote together. So that is very helpful. Thank you for that. I want to move us along, and we've mentioned a few other sort of terms here. Those of us, all of us here, are associated with sites, local sites of the National Writing Project, from Oregon to Nebraska to Missouri to Oklahoma to Louisiana. We are in all 50 states, and the National Writing Project is finishing the celebration of its 40th year. So there are a lot of us who understand what writing projects are and mean, and why teachers find the professional community here so valuable and inspiring. And so I thought we could also just say, we talked a little bit earlier, or someone mentioned Summer Institute, which I would start off by defining as the teacher leadership development invitational place where teachers come and join, by and large, first have their first experience with a writing project community in an intensive summer experience of 3 to 4 weeks where they both write together, they talk about teaching practice, they examine their practice and their learning, they read, they have the kind of time that for professional development that the marathon offers. They have that kind of time to invest in themselves as a professional. So when we talk about an advanced institute, which said this is a writing retreat and this is the summer event last summer, and this summer invites people from around the country from writing project sites to join. But it's also, because all of these people are from writing project sites, we would define this as an advanced institute, which is where people who are connected to writing project sites and have been to a summer institute go to continue their association. And so we thought we would take a little time here to stop and talk to the writing project community about this event as work of a writing project site. So we talk about that a lot in our writing project communities, about the fact that we writing projects are unique because everyone's voice is valued, everybody's talents are used, but we actually work together to design events, to design professional development, to invite new teachers to join. So writing project people, TCEs, teacher consultants and writing projects, stay connected to a writing project. It's not a summer course that a person goes to and thought it was fabulous, but then it ends. They're the best possible idea, the course that you loved most that continues for the rest of your professional career. And so this whole idea of leadership and writing projects, where teachers go to bring their talents to then continue teaching other teachers about how to work together, is what we do at local sites. And so we thought it would be interesting for you all to put that lens on this event and Advanced Institute for a moment, because there's a team of people at the Southeastern Louisiana Writing Project who plan carefully for this event. I loved the, you know, all the planning that went into making this look simple because we're bringing people in from across the country. They're coming and they're seeing a city, but they're also being hosted. So let's stop and talk about how planning this event, designing this event, and hosting this event builds the capacity of a writing project site, and why this is an example of how leadership in action at writing project sites. Because I think other site leaders would be interested in sort of a behind-the-scenes look at how you all do this work. So Richard, let's start with you and talk to us about how this builds capacity at the Southeastern Louisiana Writing Project site to do even more and grander work and have more people to do that.
Sure. I think part of our thinking right from the beginning is that we have a role at our writing project to nurture the talents of our teachers. And we need to nurture them as writers. We need to nurture them as teachers, and also as colleagues, friends, if you will. I think we need those various sides of our character to be, for lack of a better word, nurtured. And when we conceive of something like an advanced institute, we're always asking ourselves, okay, how can we give our teachers a chance to become a community of writers again? And obviously we use things like the writing marathon and the workshops to energize our teachers as writers. One of the interesting things that happens is that when you put writing teachers together and allow them to write, they'll also, around that writing, have professional conversations. You would think if you set them in the city of New Orleans, they might just, you know, write a little bit and then drink a lot of beer, but that's not actually what happens. It's amazing how many conversations develop while they're writing about themselves as teachers and also about themselves, their personal lives. We've discovered through the way we put together advanced institutes that you really, Kim once said, we've got to knock down the Berlin Wall that stands between professional and personal. And I think what we've seen in the advanced institutes that we put together, that we're trying to allow the personal and the professional and the writer all sort of to come out and have it. And I think that sustains people, and I think that's one reason they come back. I'd also say that in terms of doing the work, what's really interesting is that, for instance, this particular retreat that we put on last summer, it began with conversations that were held by our leadership team, trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to do this? What have we done in the past that worked? What's different now? And one of the things that was different was that we didn't have enough funding in order to do something that could be awarding a class graduate credit and tuition and all of that. So it's like, well, tuition, credit, those were things that used to be very good to be able to give our teachers when they came. If we can't do that, what is it that will bring them together? And what we found is they want to go write. They want that time for themselves. They want to meet with people that were part of their former institutes and write with them and talk with them and see what's going on in their lives now. So I think that that was our thinking at the beginning. And when we got to really the next stage of our planning, we put together a team of 10 teachers who we labeled as our advanced institute. And their job during the retreat was to do an awful lot of the running of the activities. For instance, Each member of that team led a marathon writing group, and I'm really happy the way that happened. Each member of the team knew certain parts of the French Quarter that were good to write in, and each one of the team had already we'd already met together and said, okay, how do we make a great writing marathon? Well, we want to make sure we have as many rounds of writing as possible. We want to make sure we go to places that are conducive to writing. So we actually all sat together and figured out, okay, where do you want to go with your group? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And that kind of advanced planning and actually asking each a leader to lead one of those groups really, really paid off. We also asked them to lead response groups in the latter part of the week for teachers who wanted to actually publish their work. We offered the opportunity to publish a writing that came out of this retreat. And so we actually put together response groups, and we had our teacher leaders volunteer to lead those groups. We also had, you know, just a lot of the work, things like running the read-around at the end of the day. Margaret Westmoreland stepped up to the plate for that, and she took care of making sure that, you know, the next person got on stage. And while she was doing that, you know, Tracy was on the other side of the room making sure that the drinks were mixed. And so, you know, people were just, some of them were stepping forward and doing all kinds of work. One other, too, was we actually had a panel, and Susan was on that particular panel, which was on how to bring writing marathons back to your site or back to your school, how you've done this. And we had, I think, five people in the panel, and Susan was our outside guest for that, but the others were our teachers who have brought writing marathons back to their own classrooms and use them and talked about that. So those kinds of work came out of this event, and this event then led to a whole year of continuity where we, you know, published an article, produced a radio show. Of course, we're in New Orleans area. We have to celebrate whenever we do anything. So we actually had a party for the authors and their families. And so I think this is pure writing. This is pure National Writing Project thinking, how one event can lead to another, can lead to another, and all of them are there to sustain, nurture, and really showcase the great things that our teachers do.
And listening to you, Richard, as far as thinking about the teachers who are part of your writing project and take on the myriad of roles that are needed to put on an event like this, it really is a great opportunity for both veterans, but it seems like new people would be welcome too. I mean, it feels like a safe way to start leading work on behalf of a writing project and be mentored and alongside of more experienced people, and at the same time bringing in your own new ideas. So I think that's another piece of it, that having leadership opportunities for teachers that both offer them a chance to be, for a moment, the leader of a group or the convener of a panel, but at the same time to step back into the role of writer and responder as well, seems like the perfect storm of opportunity for an advanced institute experience that you actually are learning something about leadership at the same time.
Yes.
Because everyone, it seems like, is invited to find their place at the table here as a leader. I just want to name that because I think it almost sounds magical like it would happen, but I know that there was a lot of thinking and planning and organizing, and you all knew what you were doing while you did this. So I think that that's another piece of the writing project world that we can pull out from this. Let's go on with this notion of what other writing project sites can do or learn from this experience.
Well, one thing,
Susan?
No, go ahead. No, I was going to say one thing that I appreciated is the way that you all, you know, I'm not from New Orleans. I love New Orleans, but you were able to privilege and honor local knowledge, and even different people from your site know about different things in the city, and so they were able to be experts. But also as sort of a visitor you know, I felt like I was contributing, especially as the retreat went on, and I was able to share, for instance, discoveries I'd made, and then people wanted to go to the places I had been. And so it really becomes a collaborative creation where, you know, the sort of the veterans start us out, but then the newcomers are invited in to also take part in crafting what's happening in the event. And I think that's a really valuable thing for sites to learn.
That's lovely.
You know, I have this other thought, too, that when Jib Gray conceived of the National Writing Project, I remember, you know, part of the original model was you have to eat together. At the end of every week, you know, that was part of the model, that the group would either do a potluck or they'd go out or whatever. And that was brand new to me, that kind of thinking, that you know, when you work together with other professionals, you actually enjoy yourself as well, you eat. And I think that was part of what happened, too. We took things from the Institute and brought that to this kind of retreat where, okay, a lot's going to happen over dinners. A lot's going to happen over lunch and over breakfast, conversations that are going to build further connections for our site, further connections between teacher consultants at our site and national ones. I think that's so important that, you know, our local teachers feel connected to the National Writing Project. And what better way to do that than to invite them in and write with them? So, you know, in doing that over food and doing that while socializing, I think is a large part of what makes the National Writing Project different from other professional organizations. And I think it's part of its success.
Yeah, I continue the food theme here. You know, in a college class, it's like the professor comes out of the kitchen with, you know, a lecture or lesson and delivers it to the consumers, the students, the listeners. I feel like in the marathon, we're all in the kitchen. You know, everybody's cooking up something, and you're kind of swapping flavors and recipes and, you know, try a little of this, try a little of that. So it's very collaborative. And this is so important for teachers because during the school year, we're, you know, in a glorious way, but we're isolated in our classrooms trying to figure it out. And so in the summer, to have a chance to just basically hobnob with other teachers who are curious about practice. You know, in agriculture, you plant in the spring, you harvest in the fall. During the school year, you start out in the fall and you end up in the spring. In the writing project, you plant seeds in the middle of the summer. And, you know, then they bear fruit during the school year. So I'm mixing my metaphors here, but that kind of feels like New Orleans. There's so much going on. And everybody is contributing their part. It's like a rolling potluck of a kind.
That's a great description.
Can we talk a little bit about the publication? Because we talked a lot about people doing writing, but it feels like that there's a piece of work and leadership around publishing the work as well. And you talked about the celebration of the authors once the publication came out, but talk about the main publication that came out of this. I'm sure there are many others that people have done separately, but you did an anthology, right?
Well, we've done from this last retreat, we did an article, which was a collection of writings from the retreat, with about 50 contributors from the retreat, and it was published in Louisiana Literature, which is a literary journal. The editor of the journal actually came and talked to our group on the third day and said, "Okay, you guys are doing great stuff here. It's exactly what I want, you know." And he kind of gave him a pep talk as the editor about this. And that, you know, Kim's inspiration in the workshops, the chance to write on marathons, the editor coming in and saying, "If you guys want to publish this stuff, I want it. So, you know, so do that if you wish." And we had response groups set up so that people could take the raw work from the marathon if they wished. Not everybody did it, but most of them did. And did their best to get it all as polished as they could. And before they left the retreat, everybody who wanted to submit a work submitted a work. I mean, it was ready to go. And I ended up, you know, working with the authors, pulling it together, more or less packaging and formatting and so on to get it into this particular journal. So, you know, that at the same time we were recording each one of these authors, another form of publication, obviously, too, is the read-around. I think, you know, you're making your work public when you do that. So we had multiple levels, and I think that's important for National Writing Project sites to think about, too. You can publish by reading your work aloud. You can publish it by putting it in print, by putting it online, and also on the radio. We produced a radio show from the recordings that we did there each night. So we had various forms, and what was really cool is the same week that the Literary Journal came out with our collection in it, the radio show was broadcast, and we threw a party at a local restaurant and listened to the radio show live. The producer from the college radio station who put the show together was there to say a few words. So, you know, it was, again, showcasing professionals' work in a professional way and celebrating it at the same time with not just the writers but their families, which was, I think, important too. The Writing Project demands so much, and it's important to bring that family in, I think.
And, Richard, we will put a link to the archive on KSLU.
Great.
Of this radio, of the radio show that you did, but they also have a really nice page of all the radio shows that the Southeastern Louisiana Writing Project has done. So go to this link and listen. They're fabulous radio shows full of a lot of good writing that's come out of the marathon. So, we're still on the subject. Tracy, do you have anything to add about things that Writing Project sites could take away from this?
Well, just one of the things about the radio show in particular is you might be imagining that people go away from the writing marathon and spend some time with the pieces they've written and put them through workshops. And that's not the case at all. The radio show is recorded live every night at the read-around at the end of the day. And the writing is fantastic. You know, we're not just out on the street jotting down little snippets and ideas for later, although that does happen somewhat. These are fully formed pieces that people are jotting down in their notebooks as they're roaming around New Orleans. And I think it's the confidence that writers get participating in the marathon. And as the hours stretch on and they write together and stop for a moment to read each other's pieces out loud and then move on to the next place. And after a couple of days of that, writers really get their confidence. And that's so good for teachers. It helps them go back to their classrooms feeling like writers. It helps them teach writing with more confidence because they are writers themselves. So that's just one of the things I wanted to mention that's such a benefit for the teacher consultants and the writers in the National Writing Project groups that we work with.
I'm so glad that you mentioned the idea of teachers of writing should also write. Another one of our common principles and beliefs. And I can imagine that for teachers, both the conversations around the table and the writing and the ideas that are getting shared are definitely worth the time and any expense that there may be to get to themselves to this retreat. Could Richard or Tracy, would you want to say just the specifics before we leave this section for Writing Project site leaders who may be listening, or teacher consultants or teachers who might want to come to this, exactly how they would go about finding out more, and how much does it cost, and say the dates again?
Tracy, could you do that?
Sure. It's going to be held in New Orleans, July 13th through 17th this summer. And to register, they can go to our web, www.writingmarathon.com. And the registration page is up and working. They can fill that out online, and it's $150 to register, and that gets you the entire week of sessions with our writer-in-residence, Kim Stafford, and with fine people like Susan Martin. And participating every day in the workshops and in the writing marathons and the read-arounds at night, and that also includes cocktails.
And so, and there's information there about making a hotel reservation if you're not local and that kind of thing as well.
If you're not local, we've arranged something with one of our favorite little boutique hotels on the quiet end of the French Quarter called Le Hotel Richelieu, and they have a special rate for our riders at $100 a night, and all of that information is on our website, and it's frequently on our Twitter account and on our Facebook page as well.
Excellent. So any other logistics specifics about the event itself that you would add for anyone considering coming? Like, is it, do you apply? Do you, what, how much space do you have? Should we register early?
They should
Go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah, they should register as soon as possible because I believe we're already up to 30 participants and we have to max out at 60 due to space constraints at Gallagher House. So they should go ahead and register just as soon as they can. Other things that might be of interest, you don't have to be a National Writing Project teacher to attend. You don't have to be a teacher to attend. If we have space available, we like to open this up as well to just people who love writing or who want to experience the writing retreat with us. We had a few non-teaching writers with us last summer, and they added a great deal of a little of that lagniappe, as we talked about earlier, because they weren't teachers, and they benefited as well from being around the teacher writers. So they don't have to be teachers. They don't have to be National Writing Project teachers. And there is no application of any kind. We're just open to writers.
Great. Thank you for that. I want everyone to know how to come if they happen to be listening to this. And, you know, this is for July 2015, and I would say if you're listening to this and it's past July 2015, people should check back for the summer of 2016 because I think you have an amazing model here that people are going to demand that you continue. So check out writingmarathon.com.
Thank you.
So as we're looking toward the last minutes of this show, we feel like the exactly right spot to move to now and to wrap up with is, and it is all about the writing, and it's all about the writing in writing projects and all kinds of writing with all kinds of devices. In all kinds of places. So back to you, Kim. You started us out, and you're in the role of writer in residence for this event. What would you like us to know?
Well, I you know, if you imagine the best possible conditions for experiencing the best possible writing you might do, I think it's the marathon and the French Quarter. Take away doing the laundry, doing the chores. You know, you're in this fabulous place. You're a traveler. Take away driving anywhere. You're walking. Take away being with people who are skeptical about your calling as a teacher or a writer, and surround yourself with people who can't wait to hear what you've written, who would love to sit down and do some writing with you. So we're just adding these, layer upon layer of inducements to experiencing writing as you could only imagine it under different conditions. I think earlier when Richard talked about a letter, you know, it got me thinking. A letter has become a luxury. It's almost a 19th century concept where you're writing about something you care about and you're sending it to someone who cares about you. You know, that's really the experience of being a writer in the marathon. There are no barriers. There are no obstacles. There's only welcome and opportunity. So I can't say enough about that. I just love being in good company, writing in a wonderful place.
So, Susan, what would you add to this idea of why writing matters in this moment, in this place?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I just want to say having Kim Stafford as our writer in residence was brilliant and so important to the sense of unity. I mean, the way he started us off every morning brought us into harmony before we went off into our groups and got us all on the same sort of page and the same note and the same chord. And then we came back and Tracy made us these brilliant, gorgeous cocktails, and it was just absolutely perfect. So I would say, you know, if you can, get Kim Stafford and Tracy to frame your writing marathon. But why it matters, I just, you know, when you're on a marathon, without fail, something occurs. There's usually some magic moment where it's almost like you can see differently. And I often end up thinking about that line from Hemingway's quote out of A Movable Feast that we often quote, the story was writing itself, and I was having a hard time keeping up with it. There's just this, you know, you see the world so differently in this space, and you really can barely write to keep up with it. And, you know, it's a privilege to see the world this way, and you begin to sort of understand the role of a writer in the world, you know, to be able to capture this vision and then translate it back for other people is just so important and so beautiful. That's what the marathon does, and that's what the recognition of writing, I think, as an art form and an expression of human experience. It's just fantastic.
I know that we could go on and talk more about this. We're coming near the end of the time that we have. So, Tracy, do you have a final thought that you want to share?
Get to New Orleans this summer, you know. Get down here and write with us. I remember my very first writing marathon that was part of my Summer Institute experience, and we had been in the classroom for several weeks, which was really lovely. Everyone's voice was honored, and we were all working together as teachers. But it was that moment in the French Quarter where Richard told us to turn to someone and say the words, "I'm a writer," and then set us off to go write across the French Quarter. I really became alive, not only as a writer, also as a teacher in that moment and on that day. And if you haven't done it, I just encourage you to come to New Orleans and write with us this summer. It's a beautiful, magical experience.
It's so generous of you all to make this and invite other people too, I just have to say. So, Kim, do you want to have a closing thought for us?
Yeah, I have a closing thought. So, you know, years ago I was in a fourth grade classroom and I was inviting the kids to write, and I give a prompt, and one little guy raised his hand and plaintively said, "Can we use our imaginations?" And I thought, wait a minute, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. You know, in New Orleans, a high voltage yes to that question. And as writers, as teachers, and as citizens, without imagination, we are lost. So let's have a feeding frenzy of imagination.
Absolutely lovely. Well, thanks to all of you who so thoughtfully and carefully talked us through both a model of an event, gave us a sense of what it would be like to be part of it, and also inspired us to pick up our own pens and do some writing and to make time for that. We would invite anyone listening to find your local National Writing Project site if you haven't already done so and get connected. And have a great writing event marathon as you write in the company of others this summer. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joy. Thanks, everyone.